haven't met you yet, my name's Nate, and Mael and I have been the pastor. We've been here for, over 2 years, and we're so grateful for that. I can't believe it's over 2 years already. My little time hop on my phone keeps giving me reminders of where I was a year ago. Anybody else have that? It's kind of funny, where I was 2 years ago. Some of you were on vacation 2 years ago. Well, I'm glad you're here 2 years ago. But speaking of time hops, does anybody remember being in high school? Any remember those good old days of being in high school? Some of us like, yeah, I've been doing a lot of work to forget those days. But I remember high school. And one time in particular when I was in high school, I got to go to my very first ever production, like a theater at the Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle. Has anybody ever been to the Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle? I mean, it is unbelievable. But you got to know this. I was raised really with kind of two things. It was church and sports. That was basically all I knew. And so like a production, a play, I really didn't know what this was about. So it was, I was a junior in high school and our class got to leave early. And if you kind of paid for it or whatever, and we got to go to the Fifth Avenue Theater. My very first production, I was about 16, 17 years old. And we went and saw Phantom of the Opera. Come on, somebody. That's amazing, by the way. I'll just say that right there. And I'd never seen anything like it. They had a chandelier that literally filled the room. Do you remember? Has anybody seen this? And when it, come on, when it comes from the ceiling and then all of a sudden it ends up on the stage and it's like this big. And I remember just being blown away. I had no idea they could do tricks like that. And I'm just watching this. I mean, people are singing, they're dancing, and I am completely confused by all of it. I have no idea what's happening. And I remember there came this point, it was like this big crescendo, the dude just belting it out. I've never heard singing like this. And he stops, kind of walks off, and the lights go on. And I'm looking around, no announcement, nothing. The lights just turn on. People stand up, someone starts stretching, and they start leaving. I'm completely baffled. I'm like, is that all? There's got to be more. There's got to be more. Like, I don't even know. I don't understand everything that's happening, but there's got to be more. So I'm thinking something's wrong, or I don't know. I guess it's over. So I stand up with everybody. They start walking down, and some people are going to the bathrooms and everything, and I just had to walk out the door. And my teacher yells out, Nate, where are you going? Where are you going? I'm like, it's over, isn't it? I thought that was awesome, but that was a short show. Are we done? And he goes, Nate, that's called intermission. I had never experienced intermission. And then he had to explain to me, you know, in sports, you have halftime. This is halftime. It's not over. And I remember being so shocked by the fact that I thought we were done, but we're not done. Today, I want to introduce to you the final topic of our series, Hot Topic. It's called, How Does It End? And the reason I want to talk to you about it from the perspective of that story is that oftentimes people think the end is it means that it's actually over. You're a lot like me. When you think the show's over, you're already done. You're packing your bags. You're done. But when it comes to the end times, I want to remind some of us today that when you think it's over, God is just getting started. When you think it's over, God is just getting started. And my hope today is that when I preach this message that you will hear, maybe you've heard the things about the end times. We're going to talk, we're going to be in Revelation, so buckle up, buttercup. We're going to be reading some prophecy. We're going to be reading some scripture, and we're going to be going into this. And what I want to do is, number one, I want you to know, first of all, what the Bible says about the end times, okay? This is not my pontification. This is from scripture, okay? Are we good with that? Second thing is that I want you to walk away with hope. I want you to walk out with hope. And here's why. Because you may be in a season where in your life where you think something's over, but I want to remind you today, God's not done with your story and he's just getting started. He's just getting started. Same thing with this church. 100 years is nothing in the kingdom of God. We've got hundreds and hundreds of years to go. But I also want you to know, when it comes to the end times, a lot of people, especially Christians, for whatever reason, they approach the end times thinking that's the end. Like God's just done. But I want to remind us this morning that when we talk about the end times from the Bible's perspective, it actually is kind of like the next act. There's a lot more that's about to happen in your life and my life. And so what I want you to do is to maybe take on a fresh lens, a fresh perspective, and maybe go back to what the Bible says, because if you don't, you may be looking at the way that the current events are happening and thinking, oh, Christ is coming and it's all over. But I got news for you. God has something great for you, something great for your family. And it all boils down. It really starts right now. We're living in it, and maybe you didn't know this, but we're kind of already seeing things that the Bible talked about that would point to the end times. Some of them right now, maybe you don't know this, but Israel's been at war for 359 days. Right now, October 7th is just coming up when the strikes started happening, and there's wars happening. Ukraine and Russia, still happening. The Bible talks about wars, and rumors of wars will start to come even more. And then in Zechariah, it says that all the nations will actually come against Israel. Part of our role and responsibility is to pay attention to the signs that are pointing to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I say all that, I can already tell by looking at your eyes that some of you are allowing fear to sweep over you. Some of you are feeling the fear of what's going to happen politically, what's going to happen in our government, what's going to happen on the world stage. And what I want you to see is that God is at work even when you think he's not working. And when you think it's over, God is just getting started. So today I want to talk to you about really, there are four terms that I think if you understand these, it will help you not to walk through this next season, because we don't know, Jesus could come at any moment. But as you walk through these seasons, you should walk through with hope if you know Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, my prayer is that you would listen and come to Jesus. Because if you don't have Jesus, then you really don't have hope. But true hope is found in Jesus. So what hope am I talking about? You might be asking, Pastor Nate. Don't worry, I've got some good hope for you. You may not realize this, but the Bible speaks on prophecy over 25% of the time in the Bible. Did you know that one out of every four verses are actually talking about the future? And that one of the key components of our faith right now as we stand in history, Jesus, in case you didn't know, he has died and he has risen from the dead. We should all be like, yes, that's really exciting. And he promised that his bride. And that's number one. Our first point is, if you're in Christ, you have something called the blessed hope. Say, blessed hope. The blessed hope. Now, I'm not just going to say blessed hope or just give you these terms. I'm going to read you some scripture verses. So they should be in your notes, but they're going to come up on the screen. The very first verse is Titus 2:13, which, by the way, we named our son Titus after that book of the Bible, that man. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but that verse just gets me excited. Think about it. You'll be walking on your way to Trader Joe's, and next thing you know, boom, the trumpets will sound, you're going to be in heaven. Ah! In a moment. Some of you will be like, in high school right now, you're like, man, Lord, happened just before I take my test. right before the one I forgot to study. Did anybody else pray that prayer? And come on, so I'm going back to high school. But there will be a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and then we will be with him forever. Romans 8:23. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. That verse right there should get you really excited. Do you know what that means? You're getting a new body. Anybody else celebrating? Anybody else looked in the mirror this morning and thought, I'm ready for that new body, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. We fail to realize, oftentimes, I think part of our despair and struggle in life is we forget what's coming. It may not be the way you want it now, but God's got something great coming for you. We follow God because something better is coming. Our bodies are coming. And in case you're wondering, what will that be like? It's really cool in scripture. We actually get a glimpse into it when it talks about Jesus as he rose from the dead. We see him in resurrected form. There's a few things that we know that will be like in our resurrected bodies. Number one, it will still be flesh. He says, touch the nails in my hand, touch the scars. You can still touch each other. My favorite one, the next one, is that Jesus eats fish. There'll be food in heaven. Apple pies, come on, somebody. I don't know, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be there. There'll be food in heaven, and then Jesus, we see that right here, when we're raised by the twinkling light, what happens? We meet them in the air. Jesus appeared in different places. Our bodies will be so different. We'll know each other, but we'll also have these new heavenly bodies. And we can look forward to that. We don't have to be afraid of it. We actually are pretty excited about what God has in store for us. You have something to look forward to. That's part of the blessed hope. The next one, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Come on, good news. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to do a funeral for somebody. I had never met this couple before. I've never met the family before, but there was a man who was mourning his wife. His name was her name was Fran. In the last 10 years of her life, unfortunately, she had been riddled with disease and cancer in her body. And so Frank, the husband, had literally been her caretaker for 10 years. And he loved her. He took care of her. They did all kinds of things to try and help her with her pain, but it was something they prayed and believed for. And unfortunately, she lost her battle and went to heaven. And so I walked into a room, and now you guys have... Our church, you kind of gotten used to me now. I'm kind of excited, right? Right? Like I'm kind of a happy person. I don't know what to tell you. I come out. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Even some people when I see you in the hallways, you're like, hey, just chill, okay? I'm like, no, I'm really excited to see you, okay? And so I walk into rooms, and sometimes I forget the room I'm in. So this family is like kind of sad, as they should be. And they've got the kids and grandkids, and they're sad as they should be. Everybody's kind of really, really sad. And I fling the door open, and I'm like, hi, guy. Hi, how are we doing? So sorry. And I'm looking at everybody, and I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm reading the room, and I'm watching the kids, and they're really, really concerned. They're really taking it hard. One, they lost their mom. But after dialoguing with them, what they were most concerned about is the husband, the widower. What's he gonna do now? How's he gonna handle this? Because he retired really early. He made his whole life caring for her. And I remember asking them, and I could just tell the kids were putting on a strong face, but they were really worried about Frank. And we kind of go around, we're sharing, and Frank kind of has his head down the whole time. And I said, Frank, tell me about your wife, Fran. And he looked up with tears in his eyes, and he said, oh, my Fran. And he just starts telling these stories of when they first met, and when they were dating, and their kids, and the time when she ran the car into somebody else's. I mean, all the silly stories that people tell. And all of a sudden, he wiped this tear away and he said, "But my favorite part is she's no longer suffering. And one day I'm going to be with her in heaven again." Right then and there, I saw somebody with a blessed hope that changed the room. And what he told me in that moment, he said, "Please preach the gospel at this funeral. Please preach the gospel at this funeral." And I said, "Absolutely. Always take an opportunity, because the time is short." In the twinkling of an eye, it said, we never know when Jesus will return. We are looking and we're longing and we have hope, but God's not done. I've been around a lot of funerals, and since Mayel and I have been here, and our boys, I've got the opportunity to be at some funerals here at PCC. And Pastor Bill Wilson, who was a pastor here a few pastors ago, before Pastor Ray, and maybe you know this or not, he has the exact same line that he starts every funeral with. Did you know that? Next time you're at one, you can look for it. Every single time, he starts the exact same way. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And I say, "Pastor Bill, do it again." Why? Because going to church isn't going to get you to heaven. That's not your blessed hope. Doing good things will not get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is Jesus Christ, believing in him and him alone for salvation. Yeah. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity, because today's your day. But if you're here this morning and you do know Jesus, I just want to tell you, you have something to smile about. You're getting a new body. For some of you, you're looking forward to seeing some family members in heaven, aren't you? Come on. We have something to look forward to. But just when we think it's over, God's just getting started. So the first part that we talk about is that we have a blessed hope. And when the rapture, when the church goes up to heaven, one of the things the Bible talks about, and this is something that I personally believe, there are different scholars and people that this is debated, but I believe this in our theology and what we believe with the Assemblies of God, is that there's something called the tribulation that will take place. This is 7 years. And if in case you didn't know what that looks like, I'll read the verse for you in just a second. But tribulation is when, after the church has been taken up, where there will be 7 years of complete chaos. It's like the grace of God will be lifted, and there will just be, it'll be a terrible time. Now, people actually can come back to God during that time. But the reason I don't believe the church will be a part of this is in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says this: "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." What is the wrath of God? It's the justice of God that comes out because of people's sin and decision to go against God. And as I say that, people are like, "Man, that's a pretty heavy, hard part to say. Isn't that, Pastor Nate? Why would you say that?" Because it's in the Bible. And the best thing I can do for any of us is lovingly say, this is what the Bible outlines will happen. Now, I say that with this. Some people believe in something called, there's pre-tribulation, mid-trib, and then post-trib, which means the rapture could happen at the beginning, the middle, or the end of the tribulation. All I know is I'm praying and believing that it's pre-trib. Anybody else with me on that one right there? If you want to hang out, I don't know. We'll pray for you. But I believe there's evidence in Scripture that supports that, and that's what we believe. But it's one of those things that there. I just want you to know there are. This is not a salvation issue, but this is a debatable issue that happens in the church. Are we good? All right. So the first key that to understand this is really important. Number one is that if you're in Christ, you have a blessed hope. Number two, God's not done. He's got something great happening. There's something called the millennial reign of Christ. And some of you are like, "Man, what is that?" It's the visible return of Christ with his saints to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That's why we need new bodies. I don't know about you, but I don't think this body can make it 1,000 years. So far, I'm looking at 100. That's pretty tough. But 1,000 years. But I want to give you some verses that support this. Revelation 1:7. It says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Daniel 7:13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. Okay, horses in heaven. Some of you are getting more excited. Anybody want to ride a horse in heaven? Oh, my wife does. All right. I guess we're all going to watch her fly through heaven. Okay. whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. Revelation 26 says this, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him. This is so important. We are saints of God. We will reign with Christ, so Christ is ruler, for 1,000 years. Come on, somebody. Now, this is really critical for us right now to understand that in this passage, when you read Revelation 20, I don't have time right now, but over 6 different times does the Bible say that there's 1,000 years. Like, it specifically says 1,000 years 6 different times in Revelation. Because of that evidence of that repeated number, we believe here that this is not just some imaginary long period of time. Like, if John would have heard that from God, we believe he would have said, okay, you're going to be with Jesus for a long time, because there's actually parts of scripture where he says 1,000 years will be like a day and a day will be like 1,000 years, meaning that God exists out of time. But this specifically says that there will be a thousand year reign, and that's something that we believe in. Again, this is not a salvation issue, but this is something that we see in scripture and evidence that we look forward to. And here's why: we will reign with him. He is king. Don't forget, Jesus is Lord. Anybody, we're all clear on that. But he says that we get to reign with him. We get to exercise his authority through us on earth. This is really exciting. You want to know why? There will be no more voting. And everybody said amen. Come on. No more campaigns. Nobody texting you saying who you're going to vote for. That's all gone. Jesus is king. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's just like this huge sigh of relief, if you ask me, because Jesus is finally taking his proper place on earth as it is in heaven. He is king and he is Lord, and we get to be the saints of God with him, ruling and reigning. It's going to be a beautiful time. And then after that 1,000 years is completed, just when you think it's over, God's still getting started. Then comes something called the final judgment. The final judgment. This, I'm going to read the verses to you and I'll explain it in just a second. In Matthew 25:46, this is when it says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Revelation 19:20 says, but the beast was captured, and with it false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worship its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. There's a lot here, but what you need to understand first and foremost, what we believe is that heaven is real and so is hell. The greatest lie that Satan ever told was to get people to believe that he did not exist and that eternity does matter. And so when we believe that, we believe that there will be a second death, a judgment for those whose names, and the Bible says, to go to heaven, your name needs to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Pastor Bill told us, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When we believe in Jesus Christ, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You have a blessed hope if you love Jesus. But for people that we know and love, maybe you're here this morning and you can think of some people that you know and love that don't know Jesus. That's where our heart begins to break. That's when we start to pray. When I was in eighth grade, I was at it was a summer camp. It was kind of a revival service. And we're praying. And my uncle Greg, this is my mom's brother, was raised in church. But about 18, 19 years old, he walked away from God. And he lived a completely rebellious lifestyle, completely away from God, and totally renounced everything. And I remember at a very young age, my mom would lead me in prayer together for my Uncle Greg. And we would get down and we would pray, Lord Jesus, please save Uncle Greg. Please save Uncle Greg. Please save Uncle Greg. And I remember we'd go to Christmas gatherings or different things, and he still didn't know Jesus. And I remember my heart just being devastated, being sad, right? So eighth grade, I'm at summer camp, kneeling down, and I have a vision. Never had one before, and I'm literally, it was like the apocalypse. There was like these gates that were open, and then there was this rock, and people were walking straight into hell. And there was this lake of fire, and people were just walking, and I began to cry out to God, Lord Jesus, save them, stop. And I would yell. And you know those dreams where you can't really move? You ever had that happen? You're just like slow motion, like, I can't get it, I can't get it. So I'm like, stop, 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 stop. Turn to Jesus, turn to Jesus. I'm having this like crazy moment. I'm yelling, stop. And then I see my Uncle Greg, and he's walking to hell. And I'm yelling, Lord Jesus, stop him, stop him. Uncle Greg, stop, stop, stop. And as he's walking, I wake up, and I'm like distraught. I'm like, man, Lord, I do something. So I tell the pastor, and I said, hey, I had this vision, and you know what he told me to do? Probably the worst thing you could ever tell an eighth grader. He said, you need to go tell him. I was like, I'm not going to tell him that. Like, that's horrible. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're in eighth grade. Like, I'm going to go tell my uncle, hey, I saw you. You're going to hell. Right? Like, it just totally freaked me out. So what I did instead is I just started praying for him. Years go by, and I'll be honest with you, as time has gone by, I really struggled with should I tell him or should I not tell him. So about 6-7 years ago, I'm preaching for our old church before we moved here in the Tri-Cities. And I look back and I see Uncle Greg is watching the sermon. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I call my mom and I said, Mom, Uncle Greg is watching the service. She said, no way. So she calls him and she's like, Uncle Greg, what? It's her brother. So she's like, Greg, you're watching the service. And he had gone through some medical things, and while he was on he could have died. He said, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to serve you. And he asked the Lord into his heart right then and there. And so he's still watching services online. God's done an amazing work in his life. I say that to tell you, heaven is real. And so is hell. And our job as believers is to never give up. As long as there's breath in your lungs, never give up. As long as you can pray, don't give up. Do you have family that need Jesus? Do you have friends that need Jesus? What is our job while we're waiting for God to come back? Is to be praying and believing. Because one day, the final judgment will take place. And you would think the final judgment would be the end. But God's still not done. There's one more part that is so exciting. Number 4, the new heavens and the new earth. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:13 says this. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Revelation 21 verse 1 through 5 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Guys, that's the heaven that we long for. No more pain, no more suffering, no more going to the doctor and getting your blood pressure taken. All the sickness, all the disease, everything that you're going through in this life, Jesus saying the old order is gone, the new order is come. You and I have a blessed hope that one day we'll be with Jesus forever. That's what we're looking forward to. That's why when people say, aren't you worried about what's gonna happen? No, I'm actually looking forward to it. Because I get to be with my Father. I get new bodies, no more pain, no more suffering. All the tears are gone. He makes everything new. So with all that being said, we are excited about what Jesus is doing in the coming of God. With all that being said, what do we do while we wait? What do we do while we wait? What do? Do we just hang out, read the Bible, just chill? Sipping on pumpkin spice lattes. Matthew 24, verse 36 says we have something to do. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other will be left. Now this is where I want you to pay attention. If you have a cell phone, take a picture of this. Therefore, keep watch. We are not to just be sitting idly, falling asleep. Keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. You are to keep watch. Wake up. I've told our church this a few different times, but our family is blessed. I say that as best I can. With two very cuddly labradoodles. These labradoodles are sweet, and they have really two jobs in life, eating and wanting you to pet them and hold them. It's pretty much all they're there for. And our family, we love these little dogs. They're super cute. They're hilarious. Now, I would not describe them as dogs that keep watch for our protection. They are simply there to be enjoyed, loved, and held. And the other day, I don't know how Mael and I got on this conversation, we were talking, and somehow it came up, if one of the dogs passed away, or both dogs passed away, would we be getting another dog, was my question. But apparently, in our relationship, dogs are non-negotiable. So we started talking about what would be the next dog we would get. And she showed me a picture of our future dog. I want to show it to you. A Doberman Pinscher. And I did a little research. Did you know that these dogs were made in the late 1800s? They were bred by a tax collector. Should give you some understanding about watchfulness. So back to my Uncle Greg, he had a Doberman. Her name was Deja. And to be honest with you, I actually really liked Deja, and so did my brother. She was like our own little protective dog. Whenever we went over there, she stood right next to my brother and I. And anytime there was anybody else that would approach us, you could just hear her give that. And those ears, hello. And so I remember one time my brother and I were playing, and boys, in case you didn't know, boys playing usually looks like fighting. So we were fighting each other, and I think it went a little too far. We might have broken something. I'm not sure. You can't blame anybody. I'm just saying it might have happened, okay? And so we're fighting and wrestling, and we break something, and my dad jumps up to go discipline us, and Deja, roar, like just jumps and gets right between us and just, she was ready to kill my dad. And I remember being like, can we take this dog home with us? This would help a lot. Because this dog kept watch over what she cared about. When we say people are the prize, what we're really saying is, as part of our job as believers is to keep watch, to love one another, and look out for those that don't know Jesus yet. We are to care about people that don't know God yet. We're to pray for them. We're to contend for them. We are to be watchful. And part of that word in the Greek is to be vigilant, to stand guard. We are not to be labradoodles. We are to be Doberman pinchers. We are to be ready at any given moment for the return of Christ. My question for you as the worship team comes up, are you ready? Are you ready? Because here's the truth. All of the prophecy about the end times, all of the things that I've just told you, really boils down to this one important question that you must answer for yourself. Are you ready to see Jesus? Are you ready? Is your family ready? Is your heart ready? Because your number one job in this time is to be awake, to be aware. So what I would love for you to do is just for a moment, would you mind bowing your heads and closing your eyes just for a second? Let's give people an opportunity to wrestle with what we've talked about, because here's the truth. We believe that Jesus is coming. We have a blessed hope. And one day we will stand before Jesus. And the question will not be, did you do enough good things for me? The question will not be, did you sit in a pew most of your life? The question will not be, were you nice to the poor? The question will not be, did you give enough? The question will simply be, do you know Jesus? Did you surrender your life to Jesus? That's the question you and I will need to answer before the throne. Do you know Jesus? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, today's your day. Today's your day. And what I wanted to do is ask every person here to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I choose to follow you. I'm laying down my life and I'm following you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And it's because of you that I can have new life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you say, today I became a follower of Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I'm not gonna embarrass you, just raise your hand. We wanna celebrate with you if that's you this morning. Did anybody raise their hand or receive Jesus as your Savior this morning? All right, looks like we're all good today. That's all right, would you stand with me? And we're gonna do something, one last thing before we go. Do you know anybody in your life that doesn't know Jesus? Let me ask that again. Do you know anyone in your life that does not know Jesus? What can we do about it? The first and most important part is we need to pray. We need to pray. unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Amen? So I want to turn these last few moments into a prayer meeting just for a minute. If you know anybody, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, let's begin to pray and call on God that they would come back to Him. Amen? So Lord Jesus, we begin right now and we start praying. We ask, Lord Jesus, for our friends. I want to invite you to start calling out their names. Lord Jesus, I pray for my friend Nick, Lord Jesus, that he would come back to you. I pray for my friend Holly, Lord Jesus, our neighbor, that they would come back to you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that they would see the light of you, Lord, that you would shine into the darkness of their hearts, that they would turn back to you, that they would receive you, Jesus. You are the Lord and Savior and King, Lord Jesus. And I pray for every person in this room that we would see family members come back to you, God, that we would see friends come back to you, Lord Jesus. I pray for every person, Lord, that we would be just like that Doberman, awake, alert, vigilant, praying, contending, believing, not giving up. Not giving up, Lord. Because even when we think we're done, Lord, you have more to do, Lord Jesus. The best is yet to come. You're just getting started. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, let's keep praying together.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.